welcome to the Abbotloop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Amen. Lift your hand up. Church, can you gather around those that have their hands lifted up? Is that okay?
Yes.
And if it's okay, you can ask permission to just lay hands on them. Don't be weird, please, in the name of Jesus. Don't be weird. Just lay hands on them. They have a real trial, a real struggle. You don't have to push the Holy Spirit inside of them. God lives in them. Look, we're a family. We care about one another. And in the name of Jesus, we're going to lift up our struggles and trials, and we're going to carry the burdens together. We bear one another's burdens in love. And in the name of Jesus, we're speaking just an increase of trust today to be birthed in your people and in this church. And God, we're interceding for these trials and these struggles right now, that today they will find deliverance. Today they will find breakthrough. Today they will meet you, Jesus, in a genuine way. And God, you will break them through. God, we pray for confidence in you to grow and expand. And we trust you with our lives and with these trials and these situations and these family members, God. Pour out your spirit, Holy God. Open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing they cannot contain. God, we're speaking life and favor and the preferred destiny that you have for them that is unchangeable and unshakable. We call that into existence now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, great. Pastor Dick Benjamin, Apostle Dick Benjamin, back here in the back, 68th spiritual birthday, right? 68th spiritual birthday was last Monday on January 28th. Happy birthday, Dick. We're glad you got saved, brother. Me too. 68th spiritual birthday. That's impressive. I get the pleasure and the honor to introduce one of my closest friends and cohorts and all of my adventures here at Abbotloop. Brad Brisson has been faithfully serving here. I think you had your 35th anniversary or 30th anniversary of being an elder? 33rd. Oh, 33rd. That was when Jesus died. But you're not going to die as an elder. It's not happening. We're not drawing parallels like that. Brad has been here through almost every season this church has had and been in leadership through a lot and a lot and a lot. He's an incredibly wise and beautiful man, not just physically, but spiritually. And I'm honored to have him as the executive pastor. He's the backbone of our church. He makes things happen. And we're so blessed to have you here serving in our church, and we're blessed to have you come and share the word with us. So will you please welcome, a warm welcome for Pastor Brad Brisson.
Amen. There's a scripture in the book of Acts where it talks about the new believers, where the new Christians were referred to as those who were following the way. And so I have been in the way for a long time, but hopefully not in the way. But as a member of the way, one of the things that I find is really important is to ponder, to think, to reflect. And as I've thought and I've pondered about this walk with Jesus, as a follower of Christ, it's caused me to reflect on things like, how does a God who's so perfect and so holy and so amazing love us so amazingly? How does God take a mess and turn it into a message? How does God take us and make us to look like Jesus? How does God take rough coal and make us into diamonds? How does God cause us to grow and become transformed in our spiritual lives? How does God take us and cause us to be spiritually mature? It's amazing. Pastor Josh has been speaking from the epistles of Peter about growing and spiritually and growing and becoming mature. And it always amazes me how in my own personal life, it's been a challenge. It's not been an easy thing to continue to mature and to continue to grow spiritually. There's times when my spiritual growth will ebb and flow, and at times I feel like I'm really growing in the Lord. Other times I feel like I'm kind of stagnant. Anybody else ever experienced that, or am I the only one? Okay, there's two or three others, all right. But how is it that some continue to grow and mature in Christ and some do not? How is it we stop, we plateau? I've also found out that age and maturity are not synonymous. You can be old, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're smart. Doesn't necessarily mean you're wise. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're mature. And you can be young and be mature. So age and maturity are not necessarily synonymous. But I believe deep down inside of each of us, there's this longing that we cannot get away from. It's something God has placed in us. God has placed eternity in our hearts, and God has placed a longing inside of us to be free. There's something that's innately born in our hearts to walk in freedom, to be free from sin, to be free from bondage. There's a longing in our hearts to live. When we give up the right to just live passionately, something has died inside of us. God wants us to be the kind of people who want to stand up and say, I want to live! Yeah. And mean it, and do it, and live it. But inside of us, there's a freedom to love. We long to be free to just to love people deeply and to be loved by people deeply. And there's a longing inside of us to choose. And that's the thing that gets me in trouble a lot, is I don't always choose the right thing. I got a chooser that sometimes gets broken, and I don't always choose wisely. Anybody else? Two or three of you? Okay. But I believe freedom, the thing that we long for in our hearts. I got to move this so I can see the clock. We got till 2:30, right? Okay. Yay, Packers. Oh, when they went home. That's right. Never mind. But I believe that freedom comes to us through an unlikely route, an unlikely path, an unlikely route. The route to freedom doesn't come by having our own way. Did you ever notice? Freedom actually comes from yielding and not always having our own way. Freedom does not come from trying to control God, although we do try. Freedom does not come from trying to control other people, although we try. And freedom doesn't come from trying to control our circumstances. Anybody ever found freedom by controlling what's happening around you? One of the most important principles we can learn in life is to yield. Amazing consequences happen when we choose to yield our lives. And serious consequences can happen when we choose not to yield. Here lies the body of Jonathan Ray. He died defending his right of way. He was right, dead right, as he drove along. But he's just as dead as if he'd been wrong. I've got the green light. I'm going through. And the guy says, I got the red light. I can't stop. But a wise thing for Jonathan Ray to yield at that time. I've got the green light, but I'm going to let him go first. You don't have to always yield in life, but many times yielding is the right thing to do. Even if you're right, you can still yield even though you're right. It seems the way of wisdom is to learn when to yield. Oh, look at that cute little cubby bear. Let's go hug him and play with him. That's a good time to yield. A big direction. Someone coming through a red light sideways, it's a good time to say, I got the green light, but you're welcome to go through first. You're walking in danger. You see certain dangerous situations. It's a good time to choose to yield. One time when my brothers, I have had four brothers, had three brothers. Three of us were together. I'll get it right. I was eight. It's a long time ago, okay? I was eight. My older brother was nine. My little brother was five. And we were out playing on the playground, and we were coming home. It was in a busy California neighborhood. We had to cross a four-lane highway. And so my mom and dad always taught us, you guys yield to the traffic signals. They always taught us to yield as pedestrians. And so we put my little brother in between us, my big brother and I, and we waited until all the cars had stopped on this four-lane highway. We had the open crosswalk. We had the green light. We were heading through, and everybody yielded except one. As we ran through the intersection, this station wagon came flying through, and they were blowing the red light, and they collided into all three of us and threw us like bowling pins. I landed on my head, which might explain a few things. My little brother got hurt the worst, but we all three got banged up. And then much to our surprise, it was operated by three young teenagers, and they had this big station wagon, and the whole back of the station wagon was empty. All the seats were gone, and they decided that the best thing to do was to pick us up off the highway and take us someplace. So they proceeded to open the back of their car and throw us in the back of their car, and they started driving off. So we're all in the back of the car, we're all beat up, and we're laying there thinking, what in the world's going on here? And a man who happened to see the whole thing, which I believe he was a guardian angel or a police officer, he came running over and he jumps in the back of the car as it's pulling off. He goes, where are you taking these boys? And they say, well, we're going to take them to the hospital. And he says, you take them home. And this man made sure that we got home to our parents, and my dad got a chance to talk to that young man. And he knew that it was important that he failed to yield. And the consequences could have been deadly, but fortunately it wasn't. To yield is to give way out of respect or love. You defer to something else. You defer to someone else because you respect that person, or you do it out of love. To yield is to submit fully to or to surrender to something. To yield, you can totally yield, even if it would be the right not to yield. And freedom in Christ comes when we completely live a yielded life. But the first thing we live for is we live first and most yielded to God. When we were lost, when we were in darkness, when we were in sin, we yielded our hearts to God. We made a way. We gave way to Jesus. We gave way to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. We gave way to God's Spirit. He came inside of us and he made us anew. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. Let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him, so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done. Don't let anyone lead you astray with empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense that comes from the human thinking and from the evil powers of this world and not from Christ. So the first thing is we have to yield ourselves first and most to God himself. We have to yield ourselves to him, yield ourselves in obedience to him. We have to love the Lord God in a yielded heart and soul and mind. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, it says, Teacher, which is the most important commandment? Of all the commandments, what is the most important one, teacher? And Jesus said, this is the top of the list. The most important thing that you could yield yourself to. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. He was prioritizing what's the most important to yield yourself to. Yield yourself to God in your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole strength. Yield it to God and let him be first and most in your life. Let every decision that you make be yielded unto him. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your affection. And can you imagine when we're facing difficult decisions, if we were to say to God, am I yielding to you and your will in this situation? Am I yielding to your way in this situation? Am I yielding to your Holy Spirit and to the word of truth in my decision-making process? Boy, that would sure save me a lot of trouble if I did that. By doing this, am I loving God first? Am I loving him most? Am I yielding to him? Or is there a little bit of my own personal desires involved, my own way involved? Are my actions showing love and honor to God? Am I really yielding to him? Am I yielding to God or just trying to go my own way? And one of the things that I've learned in my years of walking with Jesus, God will let me go my own way. Yeah. I almost want to say, Lord, you know my track record. I can't always be trusted. Don't let me go my own way. Stop me. Do something to trip me up. He goes, I'm not going to take away your freedom to choose, your freedom to yield. It's something that God has given to us that is our greatest gift and can become our greatest tanglement. It tangles us up sometimes. We must choose to yield to his way. We have to yield to him to please him in every way. There's nothing that you can do to make God love you any more than he already does. He loves you completely and fully. You can't make God love you any less. He loves you completely and fully. He can't vary from that. But we can please him. Look at this scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 8. Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, Then you will realize that I am He and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak what the Father taught me. And the one who sent me is with me, and He has not deserted me, for I always do those things that please Him. Then many who heard Him say these things believed in Him. Think of that for just a moment. The guiding principle of Jesus Christ was, I don't say anything unless it's yielded to the Father. I don't do anything unless I'm yielded to the Father. Unless I can please the Lord in all that I think, say, and do, and honor Him with everything I have. Wow. That's an example of a yielded life. And that's our example that God has called us to. He's called us to no less. Living a life that's yielded to the Father through His Word, by His Spirit, through our own hearts. Yield and surrender your thoughts to God. How many know that the thoughts are sometimes the biggest battleground? Oh my goodness. Our thoughts. The mind is a battlefield. But to love the Lord with all your mind is to think right thoughts. We have the capacity, by the Holy Spirit, the renewing of our minds, we have the capacity now to think right thoughts. Whereas once we were marred by the sin and death, we could only think skewed thoughts. We now, by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit and the regeneration of our mind, we're able to think accurately about things. The truth of God in us transforms us and causes us to think straight. We can actually think about right things now. Isn't that amazing? Where we always used to think wrong, we now have the capacity to think right. But we have to act on that capacity. We have to yield to that capacity. We have to yield to what I know is right. I know this is the right thing to do, but I'm going to just kind of wiggle a little bit. I'm just going to kind of, you know, grade out in the curve a little bit. I'm just going to kind of expand it a little bit. You know, we have a way of dealing with, you know, like in our own minds, we have a way of justifying things. Maybe you don't, but you've seen your neighbor do that. But yielding and surrendering our thoughts to God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think right, you'll go right. If God has a chance to transform our thoughts, it transforms our life. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by the changing of the way you think. Then you will know what God wants. If God can change the way we think, we know what God wants. We know God's will, we know God's way, because God has had the opportunity to change the way we think. Doesn't that sound awesome? Yield yourself to God. Yield yourself in love. Yield your mind, yield your heart, yield your soul, yield your strength. And yield your thoughts. For the more you know, the more you grow, Pastor Josh taught us. The more God is able to change the way we think, the more it causes us to grow and be transformed in our life. Now that's a life that's perfectly yielded to God. Now yielding to people is a little different than yielding to God. To be above with the saints we love will be our song and glory. To be on earth with the saints below is quite another story. Oh, just yield, brother, sister, so-and-so. Just yield to them. Just give way to them. Just love them, honor them, prefer them before yourself. So easy to say. Love people and use things. Don't use people and love things. You have to learn how to love people with a yielded heart. First, we saw how Jesus gave His followers the first and greatest commandment. Now in John's Gospel, chapter 13, He goes, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. First, He gave them the first and greatest commandment, and now He's giving them the second one. This is the new commandment. Love each other. Love each other. Why does he have to command that? Doesn't it just come naturally? Don't we just naturally just ooze with love and appreciation and yielding to everybody we meet? You know, sometimes we've got to be commanded. Love that man. I command you love that man. Okay, I will. I'll try. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Oh, great. Will they yield their heart? Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And later on in chapter 15, he said, and here's how to measure, or he says, I command you to love each other in the same way that I love you. And here's how to measure it. He even tells us how you can tell if you're loving people the way he loved us. He says, the greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. Are you doing that on a regular basis? Are you, do you know how to do that? Are you yielding to the Spirit of God to teach you how to lay down your life for the benefit of your friends? It's something we have to be taught. It's something we have to, God has to transform us. It doesn't come naturally. It comes through him commanding us. And then the more we do it, the more it transforms us. And the more we can become yielded to one another. The kind of love that Jesus commanded us was the agape love. And it's not the feeling love. He's not commanding us, feel warm and fuzzy toward that person. This agape love is the kind of love that is prompted by the action that it takes. It's a giving love. It's a showing love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a doing something in love for them. It's a yielded love that considers the needs of others above itself. The very foundation of our relationships with other believers should be a sacrificial, relational, committed love. Jesus loved by serving. Remember, in the example of just before he was crucified, he had his followers assembled together, and they were getting ready to pray and have the Last Supper together. And he washed their feet. He wanted to demonstrate what he actually meant by loving one another as he loved us. He said, I'm doing this as an example for you to follow. Love one another as I have loved you. I'm placing myself at your feet to serve you, to show you love, to get underneath you, to yield to you, to give way to you, to surrender to you. He put upon himself the form of a servant to show the love that he had for his followers. The Lord, he says, I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Now do as I have done to you. How do we yield to one another? We serve one another. We get below the other person. We lift them up. We lift them up in prayer. We lift them up in sacrificial giving. We lift them up in serving. How did Jesus show his love? He showed it unconditionally. I've been listening to this old album from a Christian band from the 70s called Daniel Amos. And there's this one song in there called Losers and Winners. He said, Jesus died for sinners, losers and winners. But we have a tendency sometimes in church to be attracted towards those that are more winners rather than the losers. We have a chance, we look at people and classify them as like, I don't really want to make friends with that person. That person makes me uncomfortable. But Jesus died for all of us. He doesn't place any favoritism on any of us. We're all equal to him. We're all winners in his eyes. And Jesus died to save us so that we could show love sacrificially and unconditionally, not preferring somebody more than someone else. Don't let there be favoritism in your relationships. One of the ways we show agape love in the church is by loving everyone the same, by loving everyone without conditions. And then he told us back in John 15 how to do that was by serving. Now, the last area I want to talk about is an area that I think is really crucial. As we live a life that's yielded to God, is there something that talks in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, above all else, guard your heart. For it affects everything you do. If you want to live a yielded life before God and before man, you have to guard your heart. Because yielding comes from a heart that's open before God, that's yielded to God. The scripture has a lot to say about the heart. The heart is the seat of our emotions, the seat of our affections. The heart is all-encompassing. It includes our mind, soul, and strength. Our hearts were at one time hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. They have been made new by the Spirit of God when he comes and invades the depths of our hearts, when he comes and takes up residence within inside of us and completely causes us to be made new. Our hearts can be fickle. Our hearts can show favoritism. Our hearts can be selfish. Our hearts can see people with a critical spirit. Our hearts can be deceived. Our hearts can lead us astray. Our hearts can take us down paths we didn't want to go to. Our hearts can keep us from yielding. Our hearts can also be tender and compassionate. If we've yielded our hearts to Jesus, He can make us tender and compassionate. We can be sensitive to the voice of the Lord if we've learned how over the years to continually yield ourselves to the Spirit and to His teaching. Our hearts become tender to His voice. And when the Lord speaks to us, we go, "I hear you, Lord." We can be full of love and affection towards God and others. Now, some of you approach life rather academically. You think things through. You're a thinker. You have opinions. You have ideas. You have thoughts. And you're free to share those. But some of you also approach life rather emotionally or dramatically. And you just say, "Oh, I have passion." It just means you're dramatic. You tend to wear your emotions on your sleeves. You get emotional. You're the feelers. And you know who you are. I can be academic and administrative. I have a role that causes me to become very administrative at times. I can think things through, face through complicated administrative tasks and offer solutions. But anybody who knows me also knows that I can be emotional. I admit it. I cry during TV movies. I cry during commercials. Come on, that's crazy. I make no apologies. I'm in touch with my emotional side. But when the scripture says, above all else, guard your heart, when it says, above all else, guard your heart, there's something that's really important for us to understand, that not guarding our heart has got a lot to do with our ability to walk a yielded life. If we don't guard our hearts, pretty soon we find ourselves not as yielding as we could be. There's a connection between guarding your heart and living a life that's yielded to Christ. There's a scripture that says, today if you hear His voice, repent. If we continue to repent when we hear His voice, guess what? You continue to hear His voice. If you stop repenting when you hear His voice, pretty soon His voice gets dimmer and dimmer. And our hearts become gradually harder and harder. He says, listen and keep listening and keep obeying. Keep walking in yielded heart. Keep walking in obedience and you'll still keep hearing. It's a tragedy when someone says, I just can't hear God's voice anymore, because they stop yielding, they stop listening. You must guard your hearts from being hardened by unrepentant sin. If there's a sin that keeps reoccurring in your life, it can cause your heart to become hard. And you simply cannot yield your heart if it gets hard. You have to guard your heart from getting hard. You have to guard your heart in regards to unforgiveness. Because, brothers and sisters, people will hurt you. People will wrong you. People will forsake you. They will let you down. And the ones that love you most can hurt you the deepest. And what happens when we receive those hurts, when we receive those wounds of a friend, those wounds from other persons, it causes us to harden our hearts so we don't feel the pain and disappointment of that relationship. And we draw back from yielding in love and forgiveness to that person. And it's like, I'll forgive if they repent. I'll forgive if they change. I'll forgive if. And Jesus says, no, there's no if involved in forgiveness. Luke chapter 6, verse 37, stop judging others and you will not be judged. Stop criticizing others or it will all come back on you. If you forgive others, you will be forgiven. The way to walk in a yielded heart is to walk in forgiveness. To always forgive men all of their trespasses against us. It keeps our heart soft. It keeps our heart tender. It keeps our heart vulnerable. It keeps our heart open to being hurt again. But it also keeps our heart open to the Spirit of God. Luke chapter 17, he says, I'm warning you, if another believer sins, rebuke him. Then if he repents, forgive him. Even if he wrongs you seven times in a day, each time again, and ask for forgiveness, forgive him. In one place in the gospel, Jesus said seven times 70. If he wrongs you 490 times in a day, still continue to walk in forgiveness. Forgiving others, I've found, rarely feels good right away. I just feel so forgiven. You punch me in the nose, I just forgive you so much. It's sometimes very difficult to forgive somebody because you're hurting. It's like, they just hurt me. And now you want me to go back and be all loving to them and forgive them? Yeah. Yield your heart to walk in forgiveness and it will stay soft and malleable. If you don't yield your heart in forgiveness, your heart gets hard. And hardness of heart is a long, slow process. It's like this other song. It says, white doesn't suddenly turn black, but it goes through many changing shades of gray. Likewise, it is in the Christian life. You don't fall from the love of God in one day. It comes through many silent intrusions, slowly stealing away your heart with its delusions. If we don't yield our heart to the small things, pretty soon they build up and they become big things. If we don't yield our heart to those little things, the big things will be coming behind them. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Do not let your heart attack you. The enemy wants to use your heart as a place to take advantage of you. A person has to have the desire to change, to be committed to the process of sanctification in their life, and to live a life of humility and obedience to the Word of God for there to be real, lasting change and to live a yielded life. You can never judge the rightness of an action by the rightness of how it feels. It feels good to avoid that person. Yeah, we've had a few rubs. It feels good to kind of give them some space. It feels good to just kind of let that go. That doesn't necessarily mean it's right. It doesn't feel good to go back to that person and say, I was wrong, I sinned, I was being an idiot. Will you forgive me? That doesn't feel right. I'm just going to avoid that. So right feelings don't necessarily determine right actions. Sometimes the actions are exactly against our feelings. Go back to that person in humility and say, I was wrong, I sinned. I need to be rebuked. Will you forgive me? I've been criticizing. I've been judging others. One of the things that I found is that just because we have an opinion doesn't necessarily mean we have to share it. I think that I have to express everything I have an opinion about. No. People are going around saying, what's your opinion on all this? Let's review. Yield to God first in every area of your life. Yield to Him. Make way for Him. Surrender to Him. Surrender your will to the one who's calling your name. Surrender your life to Him. And He will transform you as a follower of Christ. And He will take you who was once an enemy and He'll transform you to become in the image of His Son Jesus. You'll become and you'll start looking a little bit like Jesus. Love the Lord with a yielded heart and soul and mind. Love Him first and love Him most. Love Him with all your affections. Please Him in everything that you do. Jesus said, I always do those things that are pleasing to Him. Let that be your guiding principle, that I only do that which is pleasing to the Father. Yield and surrender your thoughts to God. Don't let the enemy get a foothold in your mind. Cast down those vain imaginations and every high thought that raises itself against the knowledge of God and make those thoughts obedient to Christ. We learn how to yield our minds and then we learn how to yield our hearts and our lives to others. Yield your heart to God and others and protect your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. If you want to live a yielded life, you have to guard your heart before God so that nothing comes in to make your heart hard and cause you to not want to follow Him. We have to continually yield our heart to God to keep it humble. If we keep a humble heart, God continues to give us grace. If we keep our heart vulnerable, God will continue to allow us to feel His love and hear His voice. If we allow Him to heal our hearts, it keeps us being tender before Him, to keep it loving and to keep it forgiving. And freedom in Christ comes in a yielded life with a yielded heart. That's how we grow and mature. Would you all stand, please? Let's pray, and I'll have Pastor Josh come in close. Heavenly Father, we want to love you from a yielded heart. We want to live our lives in a way that's yielded to you and to your truth and to your word. We want to live a life, Father, that's yielded to the Holy Spirit and yielded to allowing you to work in us and through us and serving others around us, Father. We want to be yielded to the men and women that come into our lives and to our families and to the people that we're trying to reach for Christ. We want to yield and give way to them and surrender our hearts so that you can use us, Father. Let us live a yielded life with a yielded heart, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a great message. Can we give Pastor Brad a round there? Thank you for sharing that. That ministered to me personally. That was a fantastic word. And I just feel that we should respond in some way here, that yielding to God in life leads to freedom. There's a lot of great points in here, but I just want to maybe grab that one. And if you're here today, and maybe just all of us, if I could just lead us in a prayer together, because I'm sure each one of us could say, yeah, Lord, there's more of my life that I need to yield to you. You know, when we get afraid, we try to take control. So I'm afraid, I want control of my life. I'm afraid it's not going to work out the way I want to control. Then it definitely doesn't work out the way that I really want. So this is a beautiful, really beautiful message. And this point is so powerful to think, God, I'm going to let go of my fear. I'm going to yield to you. I'm going to trust you and trust that you're sovereign and you can actually manage my life better than I can. And God, will you manage my life today? I'm not a very good manager of my life. I heard a guy preach this message this last week. It was really powerful. And it goes right along with Brad's message is that, God, will you manage my life? And I can trust you with that. Would it be okay if I lead you in a prayer? And we can pray together just as a church. If it's in your heart to pray with me and pray out loud, I just encourage you to do that and really engage your heart to yield more of your life and hopefully your entire life to Him. So Lord Jesus, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, today I repent for my fear and trying to be in control of my life. Right now, I yield my life to you. I ask you to manage my life. I give it wholly to you. I thank you, Jesus, that you love me and you have a better plan for me than I do. Fill me with your love. And fill me with trust in who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. I'm going to pray a blessing over you and we're going to go. So, Father, I speak blessing and life to your church. God, I ask that you would rain down your Holy Spirit on these awesome believers, God. And they will go as a mighty army of love, of yielded hearts to you. And, God, you'll lead them into amazing divine appointments this week with other people. And God, as they yield their hearts, God, as our hearts begin to be flooded with compassion and you open the floodgates of love into our hearts because we yield them to you and you soften our hearts, we'll see opportunities led by compassion to love others in our families and communities. And God, I pray that you will open up those opportunities and you'll do miracles. Salvations will take place this week. Healings will take place this week. Breakthrough in relationship will take place this week. Life and encouragement will be spread out from this congregation to our whole city in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you, church. Go in love. Go in faith. Be good, right? Be good this week.